The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Jenna Ellis Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There has never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
As a constitutional law attorney, former senior legal advisor and personal counsel to President Donald J. Trump, Jenna Ellis believes in the rule of law and the importance of integrity in our elections. And she's ready to tackle the big cultural and legal issues facing America. This is the Jenna Ellis Show. Here is your host, Jenna Ellis.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Jenna Ellis Show. I'm Jenna Ellis, and I'm so excited today to welcome my good friend Tulsi Gabbard to the program. Now, she has been a very controversial figure among Democrats and Republicans. Why? Well, because she's an independent and she actually thinks for herself. So we will all never forget how she took down Kamala Harris on the debate stage heading into the 2020 election. And then, of course, the Democrats tried to say that she's not part of the party because she actually stands for pro-life positions. So now she's been invited to a lot of conservative giant stages like CPAC, like the Western Conservative Summit, and others. And does she trend more Republican? What's her background? I think these are all very interesting questions. And who Tulsi Gabbard is, I've been really fascinated to learn more of her story and her background. So we're going to get into all of that right after this. Galatians 6:10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." In Nigeria, there are 7 Christians being killed per day because of their faith in Jesus. Thousands are being driven from their homes on a regular basis. Some people like to talk about the problem, but there are those that do something to solve the problem. So I want to tell you about Equipping the Persecuted. This is a ministry that is actually helping persecuted Christians in Nigeria. Equipping the Persecuted is a boots-on-the-ground mission. They respond to terror attacks within 48 hours, bringing food, medicine, and relief materials. I can't believe all the amazing things Equipping the Persecuted is doing. They have an orphanage, support over 140 widows monthly, and they train and equip village security teams. I have genuinely never seen a mission like this. So I want to encourage all of you to support Equipping the Persecuted by donating $20 a month or more. Become a partner with Equipping the Persecuted to save lives. Visit equippingthepersecuted.org to donate today. Again, please visit equippingthepersecuted.org and become a partner in this amazing ministry. Legacy Precious Metals is the company that I trust to give you good and patient counsel for investing in your retirement. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, not only do your expenses go up, but the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And we are already seeing record inflation. That's the last thing that we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you may be vulnerable. So gold is one of the very best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your own gold. It's real, it's physical, and it's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com, where you can download the free investor's guide. You can also go to my Facebook page, Jenna Ellis. I am a public figure on Facebook. You need to start your retirement account even if you're in your 20s or 30s. There is always a great time to protect your retirement and invest, just like you want to protect your health over the long term. So go to Legacy Precious Metals at legacypminvestments.com or call 866-528-1903. Well, Tulsi Gabbard joins me now. And Tulsi, thanks so much. I have been so looking forward to this conversation because I've gotten to know you over the last year plus, and I have so respected and admired your position as someone who genuinely just speaks for yourself, and you are not in the mold of just one party over the other. So I want to start first with how you got there and your background, because until a conversation that we had a few weeks ago, I didn't realize that you were actually homeschooled.
Yeah. Great to talk to you, Jenna. I know we've been looking forward to doing this. And my gosh, time flies. I can't believe it's already been over a year since we first met. But it's so good to see you again, at least over the computer. Let's see where to start. I'm the fourth of five kids. My parents are teachers by trade and training, entrepreneurs at heart. And they decided to homeschool us. You know, they had both been teaching in different schools at different times. But I think around, you know, first or second grade for me was when they decided to homeschool us. And I loved it. You know, my sister and I are closest in age. And so for us both to be homeschooled, it gave us a kind of freedom that I think looking back, I probably took for granted because I didn't know anything any different. But, you know, it was a unique experience at that time because as I was telling you when I last saw you, you know, we were of the generation of homeschoolers where we weren't allowed to go outside until school was out because, you know, a cop might pull us over for truancy or something like that. And it was a very different time when homeschooling was a foreign concept. It's so great to see now how many families and kids are choosing homeschooling for a whole variety of reasons and really all the different opportunities and opportunities that are available to them, everything from sports to all kinds of extracurricular activities and just support systems as a whole.
Yeah. And I feel the same way about my own homeschool experience that I think I took that for granted growing up because that was all that I had known. And now looking back, I can see how my parents truly invested in me with their mentorship, yes, their friendship, and the ability to think for myself, not just go to one of these indoctrination camps and kind of learn how I'm supposed to think instead of thinking for myself. And you had mentioned when we were talking about this earlier that your parents actually gave you the option in, I think it was high school, to go back, and you ultimately decided for yourself to stay in homeschooling, and that was a pivotal moment for you.
Yeah, you know, for all five of us kids, they decided to homeschool us all, and one of my older brothers decided that he wanted to go to high school. He went, and you know, my parents never tried to stop him or any one of us from making our own decisions, but they said, "Hey, here's what you will what you can expect." And he went to high school, and he didn't last that long because he absolutely hated it. And he ended up dropping out of high school and getting his GED. But, you know, I think it's one of the many things I'm really grateful to my parents for, and they're my dearest friends then and now, is encouraging that independence of thought and critical thinking and, you know, understanding, hey, look, there are consequences to every decision that you make. It's up to you to weigh the pros and the cons and what the short and long-term effects or impacts of that decision will be. And so, you know, one of the things that as I was, I don't know, I think I was probably a freshman still. But one of the things that I felt I was missing out on was competitive sports. I'm a pretty athletic person. I grew up doing martial arts. Our family played tennis all the time. I was outside a lot of the time and I wanted to go and play high school sports. And so I told him, you know, hey, I think I might want to go to high school. And so we had a conversation about it. And they said, look, this is up to you and this is your decision. And ultimately, I decided not to. And I'm so glad that I did because it was not the right choice for me. And, you know, I think we were talking about this the last time I saw you, seeing what kids are subjected to today in schools. Not only, you know, the stuff that's always been there, right? The peer pressure and the bullying and all of this and that, but the things kids are being subjected to by their teachers and those who are pushing their own agenda, whatever it may be, places a lot of stress and confusion and pressure on kids who really should be going to school to learn, to build a strong foundation of the basic educational skills, the old school reading, writing, arithmetic, science kind of thing, that unfortunately that stuff seems to be falling away and these other issues, social issues, sexual issues, and all this other stuff seems to be taking a precedent. So, you know, my parents decided to homeschool us as kids because even way back then they saw the writing on the wall, and they were not willing as parents to say, okay, I'm just going to give my kids to some stranger to raise, essentially. They understood their responsibility, their choice in having five kids, and took ownership of that. And I'm so grateful that they provided us with that opportunity and all of the freedom and freedom that went along with that for us.
And I think a lot of parents listening can resonate with that, because so many parents are choosing homeschooling, and that whole school choice option has really accelerated over the last, you know, 20 years, but especially the last just few years in the midst of COVID, when children had to stay at home, and then parents spent more time with their kids and they figured out, hey, we actually like this. We want to spend more time with our kids, and we want to invest in them and shield them from other very negative influences while they're so impressionable. And of course, yes, you know, as adults, we can confront different ideologies and debate things that children need to have guidance and a discipleship and navigation while they're younger, to then learn how to analyze things, think for themselves, but ultimately start with a foundation of truth, and to yes, learn these things not only from their parents specifically, but for parents who, as God recognizes and our government even recognizes, children are given to parents first and foremost for them to train up in the way that they should go. So I'm grateful to my parents for the exact same thing. And I know that my life and the course of my life would have been very, very different if my parents hadn't invested in me like that. And so as you then went from high school into college and then ultimately the military, how did that shape your perspective on policy? And then ultimately you got into politics, ran for Congress, and then jumped into the presidential race.
There's a lot there. I hope we have enough time to get into this, because I made a lot of unconventional choices as a young person. I guess you could say I still am today.
And we love that about you.
Thank you. You know, I'd applied to all these different colleges. You know, I kind of broke through the misperceptions that teachers and counselors at our local public school had when I went. And I actually went and sat with the college counselor at our local high school, took the SATs, and I think she was expecting abysmal score. And you know, at least my reading and writing score was, I think I only got one wrong in the test or whatever. And the counselor, her mind was blown. She's like, how is this possible? What are you doing? Tell me what you're doing, because I want to have my kids do it. I'm just like, I read a lot and I love to write. I read at every opportunity that I had. But at that point, and I applied to colleges, I got into the schools that I wanted to go to, but the financial aid package fell through. And I personally refused, again, this was back when going to Chapman University cost something like $25,000 a year. I think it's now 90 or something like that. But I was not willing to go into debt to get a degree. And I made a decision at that point, if I'm going to go to school, it's going to be to learn a very specific purpose or get a degree for a specific purpose. The societal pressures on getting that diploma, getting that piece of paper, even at 18, 19 years old, I found to be absolutely absurd. And I kind of protested it. My parents told all of us, hey, if you want to go to school, that's up to you. Awesome. If you don't, awesome. You guys figure it out. If you're going to go to school, you're going to have to figure out how to pay for it, because we're not going to pay for it for you. If you have to pay for it, you've got to work for it, then you will value the education and skills that you learn by going through it. And so I kind of protested getting a bachelor's degree for a long time, because I was like, look, if I don't need it for a specific purpose or a specific job, why am I going to go and get this piece of paper just to prove what to society? And that's what it has unfortunately become. We see all these people in debt, tens, 20, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, depending on what it is. And for what? So you can walk around and say, oh yeah, I have a degree. So what? What does that actually mean in your life? So my path towards higher education was somewhat unconventional. I started out at a local community college, place that I could afford, and started learning about TV and film production, communications. That was a field that I was interested in going into at that time. But then took a break from that when I had an opportunity, an opening to run for office. I was very passionate and am very passionate about conservation and protecting our environment. And I was 21 years old. I ran for and was elected to a state house seat in Hawaii's legislature, and didn't actually earn my bachelor's degree until several years later. I was working full time and ended up having to get a degree because there were certain things I wanted to do that required that piece of paper. So it's like, damn it, I got to go do it. And so I was deployed to Iraq in 2004 and 2005. We had a small little education tent there. And whenever we had internet access, I was in there and taking classes or doing online tests to go towards that bachelor's degree. Did the same when I was working in Washington, D.C. for one of Hawaii's senators, Senator Akaka. He was the chair of the Veterans Affairs Committee, and I worked as his legislative aide for a couple of years between my two deployments. And it wasn't until my second deployment to the Middle East as a platoon leader that I finished my degree and got an email saying, congratulations, you are now a college graduate.
Wow. And, and one of the things that I love about your story is when you describe this as making unconventional decisions and that you kind of pursued your own path, because I think a lot of women who want to make our mark on the world, we want to do great things, seem like the conventional system is holding us back. And I asked some of those same questions in my own career and ministry path of saying, why do I need to do this the same way as everybody else? And asking exactly those questions, I think, is such a great thing. And it's so important to then always, go out and say, here's an opportunity and I want to pursue it. And, at 21, saying, I want to go and be a part of the state legislature. I mean, that wouldn't probably generally occur to almost any college student that's grown up in the regular public school system, because they're often told, here's the pathway that you have to follow, instead of exactly enterprising your own way in the world. And I think your story is so important, that you are so much more than just a label that a lot of people, because they know you from politics and especially from the presidential race in the last cycle, people want to try to put you and other women, especially, in a box and under a label and just say, oh, because you ran as a Democrat, therefore you must think these other things. Or because you are a woman, for example, you must think these other things. And I felt that way so often with the label of Republican or the label of even homeschooling or just the label of being a woman, that's somehow society expects us to fit this certain mold. But you have been so unconventional. So describe how you left the Democrat Party and why you made that very unconventional decision as well.
Yeah, Jenna, as I think we've established, I've always been a very independent-minded person, and really thought through each of the decisions that I've made in my life, whether they be personal decisions or professional ones, based on the substance of that decision. And ultimately, my goal, my mission in life is, how can I best be of service to God and to others? And will this decision allow me to continue to try to fulfill that mission and fulfill that greater purpose for my life? And so, while I have taken quite an unconventional path, and it's taken me in a lot of different directions that I could not have planned, frankly, or expected, but each decision has been made with that prayer and introspection in mind. And ultimately, that was where I assessed, I've been a member of the Democratic Party for 20 years. Back in 2002, when I first made that decision to run for state house in Hawaii, my parents, we weren't brought up in a partisan household. My parents talked about, of course, we talked about news and what was going on in the country or in the state around the dinner table, but we talked about issues and we talked about what was going on. It was never this team good, that team bad, or anything like that. And I'm, again, so grateful for it, because it allowed for that freedom of thought and that focus on actual substance to occur really from a really young age. And so when I pulled those election papers to start my campaign for the state legislature in 2002, I realized then, oh my gosh, I have to choose. I have to choose which party label am I going to run under? And it wasn't just an automatic snap decision. I really thought through it and learned more about the history of Hawaii and how Hawaii, that was once a very strong, it was a state that was controlled by the Republican Party from its creation, going from a sovereign kingdom to a territory, and then eventually to statehood. But at one point, that power transitioned from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party. And I looked into why and how did that happen? Well, in Hawaii's case, we are the 50th state, the youngest state of our nation. But that transition came about because the Republican Party in Hawaii was made up of very few, very wealthy landowners that essentially controlled the state because of the land that they owned. The vast majority of working people in the state were working on those plantations that they owned, pineapples, sugar cane, et cetera, et cetera. And unfortunately, these workers were treated like crap. There's no other way to say it. It was inhumane, the conditions that they were living and working under. And long story short, it wasn't until they came together and organized and said, hey, this is unacceptable. This was essentially glorified slavery, that shift came from the Republicans to the Democrats. And I saw the Democratic Party in Hawaii as the party of the people, the party for the little guy. And then I looked at people like Reverend Martin Luther King, people like President JFK, his brother Bobby Kennedy, and others who were voices for peace, who were voices for civil liberties and freedom and individual thought and choice. And of course, Reverend King saying, hey, don't judge each other by the color of our skin. Look at each other's character and come together as a country, regardless of your background, your race or gender or religion or anything else. Those are the things that really drew me to the Democratic Party back in 2002. Fast forward to where we are today, and unfortunately where the Democratic Party has progressively been going, and that's the irony of using the word progressive, is it has been regressive. They have gone backwards. They've betrayed that dream that Reverend King outlined in his most famous speech, in intentionally judging us by the color of our skin, dividing us by the color of our skin, using identity politics to advance their own political agenda. The Democratic Party has become the warmongering party. You look at how many Democrats have had the courage to stand up and let's say not even oppose, but even challenge the president on the proxy war he's waging against Russia right now through Ukraine and the over $100 billion of our money that he's already sent there. Not a single Democrat has stood up to oppose or even challenge that position. You look at the Republican Party. I have disagree. There are warmongers in the Republican Party as well, but I think it's encouraging to see that in that party, there is room for dissent. There's a growing number, a small but growing number of elected Republicans in Congress who also have the courage to say, look, this is not in the best interest of our country. By continuing to wage and escalate this proxy war against Russia, you're putting our country and our people at risk by getting us closer to potential World War III, getting us closer to the potential of nuclear war that would destroy us all. I think one of the most fundamental problems with the Democratic Party today that really drove home my choice to leave was their opposition to freedom. How can you have a party that is in power, that is responsible for making laws and enforcing those laws, that don't believe in freedom of speech? They are hostile towards people of faith and spirituality. They don't believe in the Second Amendment, and they're actively trying to undermine these fundamental God-given rights and freedoms in the Constitution and Bill of Rights. And that is what is not only so offensive, but frankly, so dangerous when we see the kind of weaponization of the federal government that this administration is doing, specifically to target political opponents, to target those who dare to challenge them or oppose them. Everyone from people like me to parents who were showing up and protesting at Board of Education meetings because of the explicit pornographic books that their young grade school age children are being exposed to.
And that's so well said, that the Democrat Party now is against freedom. But as you also said, Tulsi, this isn't just a one party good, one party bad. There are a lot That's of things right. I think that you and I would both disagree with on both sides. And it does seem like we are becoming so polarized as a nation that there is a division just along red and blue lines. And if there is any dissent at all within the party, that if I'm carrying the banner for the Republican Party and I even question or challenge whether it's President Trump or it's Ron DeSantis or it's anybody else, then suddenly, you know, you're labeled, well, you're just a traitor or you're a rhino, you know, and some yeah. of these, and that's not party leadership, but it is people who see this as kind of an all or nothing. And so where do you think we need to be headed as a country? Can we have unity back to the era of Martin Luther King that said, you know, we need to be judged on the content of our character. We need to come back to our founding and our roots of all people and all humans are made in the image of God, have inherent dignity and worth, and it's the sole purpose yes. of government to preserve and protect our rights for all. I mean, is that era gone, or can we find some common ground moving forward?
It can't be gone, Jenna, because we can't allow the heart and soul of this country to be lost, because that is the foundation of this country. That is the very core, the moral structure that our country was founded upon, that our founders envisioned for us. So it will only be lost and gone if we allow it to be. And you mentioned, you know, that this kind of divisiveness and animosity towards those who dare to challenge the leader of one party or another, that's not necessarily indicative of the party leadership, but it does point to a failure of leadership, where we have people in positions of leadership and positions of influence and power who, instead of actually truly leading by example and setting that tone of who we are as Americans and what we stand for, and most importantly, what you said is so beautiful, is respecting and recognizing each other as children of God. If we respect each other and recognize that that is who we really are, forget party labels and race and all this other stuff, that is our true identity. And if we fail to respect each other at that most beautiful spiritual level, then we're failing, period. Because if we recognize that truth, then that truth inspires the beautiful connection that we have with each other and with God. And that is the way forward, Jenna. That is the way forward. In Hawaii, we call this aloha. You've heard me talk about this before. You go to Hawaii or you hear someone from Hawaii, we say aloha all the time, and it doesn't mean hello or goodbye. Aloha really is, aloha means love and respect, not at a superficial level, but based on that spiritual connection that we have, that we are all children of God. And so when we look at, okay, well, how do we heal these divides? How do we bring the country together? Not so that we can walk in lockstep, not so that we never disagree, but so that we can stand on this common ground of this spiritual identity, as well as this American identity that we have, and have meaningful dialogue and discussion about how we can best solve the challenges we face, how we can best save our country, because our country is, our freedoms are under attack right now, not from some external enemy or foreign country, but from powerful people within. It is incumbent upon every one of us, you and me, anyone who's watching this or listening to it, every single one of us, to be that spark of change that this country desperately needs. And if we take that responsibility on ourselves, recognizing that our founder said, hey, you guys, we are a self-governed people. Being a self-governed people comes with a lot of responsibility. That means we don't get the luxury of just sitting back on our couch and eating junk food and complaining about all those people in Washington are screwing everything up. Yeah, they're screwing things up pretty bad, but what are we doing about it? And that's how we ensure that our country doesn't fail, and that we don't lose this country, not for us, but for generations to come. As in the military, we say, this is a no-fail mission. Failure is not an option.
And you've been a prolific voice and leader for this nation. And I completely agree that we all need to take hold of responsibility for our nation and be engaged and good citizens for this country, and not only the inheritors of the blessings of liberty, but also that we will continue to promote that, and we will be part of that chain of custody.
Be the defenders.
Gives that, yes, to the next generation. So what's next for you in your leadership role? I know that there's, you know, no announcements here, but I personally would love to see you as the first woman president. I think you are an amazing leader and could be a unifying voice. And, you know, I loved to see you run for president. I think that you are someone who could truly, in a wide variety of roles, not just as the commander in chief, but in a wide variety of roles and options, be someone, especially as such a strong woman. Speaking of, you know, International Women's Day, we still know what a woman is. Yeah, and I think it's so incredibly important that you, as a very strong leader and a strong voice that isn't just party specific, that you continue to be at the tip of the spear and continue to challenge women like me to stand up and be as courageous as you have been. And thank you for that. I think you are such an inspiration to me and our generation of women who do truly want to make an impact and a difference as leaders of this country. So what's next for you?
Thank you, Jenna. I'm really humbled by your kind words. I know they're not shared lightly and they're not received lightly. I love our country, and I'm going to continue to do my best in whatever way that I can to help lead this mission to save our country, to defend our freedom. This is something that I've committed my entire adult life to, both in uniform as a soldier in the National Guard and now the reserves, as a member of Congress, and as an American, just as an American citizen. I don't know exactly where that path will lead specifically, but I have faith. I have faith in God, and I have faith that so long as I continue to do my best to be of service, that I will find that most impactful way forward.
Yeah. And, you know, that speaks exactly to what I've always said is my life verse, which is Isaiah 6:8, here I am, Lord, send me. Yes. And God has sent me into some wild and crazy places I never even imagined possible, that I didn't get there on my own. Certainly, it was only through him opening those doors. And I think that that's the exciting part of this adventure of the American experience, is that we can pursue God's best and his plans for us. And so I'll be praying for you. I so appreciate your friendship, your mentorship. I do sincerely look up to you, and I'm very excited for what God has for you next. So thank you so much for joining me today. I've really appreciated
the
conversation.
You,
and I know
me
this
too.
Is inspiring a lot of young women out there. So thank you, Tulsi.
Thank you. See you soon.
My good friend Mike Lindell, as you know, is a sponsor of The Jenna Ellis Show, and his latest offer is for the MyPillow towels. Towels just don't seem to dry you anymore. They feel soft and lotiony in the stores, but you get them home and they just don't absorb very well. Mike Lindell at MyPillow found that around 2006, towels actually changed forever. They started importing them and adding softeners and other things to the cotton that made them feel good, but they just didn't work. So he found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft, but actually work. We all love stuff that works. And they are all made in the USA with cotton, and they come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. So right now, for a six-piece set, which is two bath, two hand towels, and two washcloths, regularly $109.99, now only $39.99. I have several packages of these. I love them. They come in a variety of colors. So definitely go and get that today. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels, but you have to enter the promo code Jenna. That's J-E-N-N-A. Or you can call 1-800-564-8475 for the great radio specials. Mention your promo code Jenna and go to MyPillow.com. And of course, we all want to support Mike Lindell because he's such a great American as well.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.